Welcome in to DC On Screen, a podcast about the DC Universe properties being brought to film and television. I am your host, David C. Robertson, and this is my co-host, Jason.
Hello.
All right, so we are getting to you a little late, but we're going to be talking and getting all spoilery on Gotham 210, Son of Gotham. This was a good episode, man.
Yeah, I would. Good things come to those who wait. And if you don't actually watch the show and you're just instead wondering how we'll try to pin it to the wall this week, well, you're out of luck.
Yeah. Oh, man.
This is that.
What was it?
This is actually why we get so pissy about it when it's not a good show. And it doesn't. It's often not a good show. But it is capable of being a great show. And it does that every now and then. So when you show me an entire episode of crap, I notice.
Yeah. It's a little interesting that way, though.
Yeah.
I love that line at the beginning where Gordon is talking about Galavan in prison. He says, the way he acted, it wasn't like a man looking at a decade in prison.
Right.
Yeah. That was good. Almost as good as Bullock's angrily talking about Captain Barnes. Guy gets stabbed. I thought we'd at least get a week of peace. Hey, Cap, got the flowers I sent?
Right. Yeah. You can count on Bullock. You can count on Bullock to show up for you.
I just love the hell out of Bullock.
Yeah. Oh, and look, before that, something I loved, even in the intro, and just the almost the cold open part of the show, we weren't very afraid. Somebody looks like they're about to get mugged and or raped in the middle of the street, possibly killed. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You never know. It's about to get violently, involuntarily bad for this person. And someone grabs them out of the shadows and pulls them away, and I kind of thought, well, there's Gotham's future.
Yep. That's a good call.
It won't always be the order of Saint Stabby Stabby, but
the order of Saint Stabby Stabby.
Well, it's better than the obvious joke. I mean, I don't want to say order of Saint Dumbass. It's just, come on, we can do better than that.
Can we?
We can try.
Can we?
We can try.
Can Let's, we?
Look at poor Bruce striving. Use him as inspiration.
Right. I always use Bruce as a source of inspiration. Speaking of Bruce, I actually have written down here, Deception and Seduction, Master Bruce.
Yeah, yeah, that was pretty great. What was the line they had the previous episode? You're not capable of that level of deception yet or something?
Yeah.
I kind of pinned in on that one and thought, oh man, that's good.
Yeah, it was good.
I'm really loving that. And he did other things. This episode, like, there's just, God, he's a baby bat. I love him so much. Just right there at the beginning, your logic is flawless, Selina. He absolutely believes her, but there's a 1 in 6 million chance he might pull it off, and he's doing it.
Yeah, he's a ballsy kid, man. He is a ballsy kid.
He really is. I've fallen in love with him. That happened a while back, though. All the things we've ever said about this show, he's not on the list. Never has been.
He's great. So I couldn't help but notice that we were almost 18 minutes into this episode before we saw Ed. But I am loving Penguin and Ed, though, together.
I did. I kind of wish they would have like a rom-com or something. I could watch The Odd Couple with those two.
Right?
Cause he's sitting there. He doesn't want to answer the phone because he's calling. And I'm like, Trouble in Paradise, Ed? Not enjoying yourself at home as much?
I think the first time we see him, though, is when Leslie comes in to see Edward about something or another. I can't remember exactly what she's wanting.
Yeah, she comes in and she's just dropping off some work for him. So, hey, want the toxicology on this guy, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and he is just being weird. It's great.
Yeah.
And he tells her that Kringle left town with Officer Doherty.
Did we just speculate that, or did we go all the way to call it? We definitely listed it as something that he probably would say she did.
I don't remember calling that. I usually remember when I call something, or when you call something.
Okay, maybe we didn't. Maybe I just was sure about it, but never got on the air with it. In which case, discount me, I can't be trusted. Ad hoc bullshit.
Well, since we can't trust Jason, we are DC Austin. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
It's been fun. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Okay. So, did you catch the reference to who Silver actually named as being the killer of the Waynes?
Yep. Paused it. Laughed for a while. Came back.
Okay. She said it was Malone. M. Malone.
Malone.
As in Matches Malone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I loved so much stuff about this episode. Even, like, Silver being in the show. Which I don't like Silver. I really don't. But she was actually pretty awesome in this episode. Like, she was deceiving and flip-flopped emotionally. And I just loved seeing Bruce and Selena get one over on her.
Oh, yeah. And I like Tommy the Knife.
Tommy the Knife.
He was fun.
Tommy the freaking Knife.
Keep him around.
He was fun. He was fun. I'd love to see him again.
Oh, yeah. Next time they need some muscle, I hope they hire him. I liked his little. I did. I liked his little gag. It was a good scam. I clapped out loud, if that's a thing. When Selena and Bruce actually come out, and I thought, yes, hell yes, Bruce. That's that's the man we wanted to see. And then, like, she starts to explain herself, and he just cuts her off. Be quiet. It's like,
yeah,
oh,
that
yes.
was so amazing. He totally did it. It was just be quiet. It
right.
Like, yes, Kevin Conroy right. coming out of that kid again. Yes. And it wasn't. It sounded like the kid, but mm-hmm. man.
But it felt. It reeked of Conroy.
It did. It did. Jumping back, though.
Jump all over the place. Earlier. You're not going to find a bad spot to jump. Good job, guys.
I know. I loved how much, like, Ed was just like, I don't know, man. He was like a kid who just discovered that he liked girls and was trying to tell his older brother about it.
Right.
That's
right.
what he was like, except with murder.
Right. except with the worst thing that could happen. But he was trying to tell a trusted friend about a girl that he liked.
But it wasn't a trusted friend. It was a guy he kind of helped.
It was a guy he intended to make trust him.
And I love that he calls him Mr. Penguin.
He did. Made me laugh. You know, I keep waiting for someone to call him Pingers. I think it's going to be Bullock, but
yeah.
If it had been Enigma, then it would have made me very happy. I'm going to call that one. I'll throw that one out there. Someone will call him Pingers eventually. It will be Harvey.
To my knowledge, the only person who's ever called him Pingers is
Mr. J.
Well, Hamill's Joker, yeah,
right.
on the animated series.
Right.
I'd love to hear that.
Yep.
Maybe from a resurrected Jerome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We haven't dived into the waters of who he's going to bring back yet. And, you know, that thread just kind of remained hanging for this episode.
As he's about to walk away from Silver and she says, he says, you pretended to be my friend. And she says, he'll kill me. And he says, goodbye, Silver.
Right. that was awesome. Steely gaze over his shoulder. Thinking, yep.
Man.
Yep, I'm going to see a cape one day, and I'm going to see exactly that look in his eyes. Good job. Good job, guy. I would like them to finish this show, put him in the cape, like start year one right up there, let it be, and then like in 10 years, just give me like a one-hour special or something, just so I can finally see the grown-up version of that kid.
Right?
As a bat. Oh, and by then he's taken on a young ward named Terry McGinnis. Yeah, that's my dream.
Oh, Lord. Well, that's what they could do. They could just start doing flash forwards and have, like, an old man playing Bruce Wayne and the same kid that's playing Bruce right now play Terry.
It'd be a little confusing for casting, but I'd be down. I don't care. I just want to see Terry.
I mean, you know, spoilers for Batman Beyond and Justice League, you've been warned. Terry's just a clone of Bruce anyway, so.
Is this true?
He can totally be David Bazouz.
I think we've already spoiled that before. Yeah, we spoiled that in depth, I think, over the summer, so.
Well, we spoiled that, you know, in depth, but someone may not have listened to that. Like, my girlfriend.
Right, but, you know, why weren't they listening to us?
Well, because she hasn't seen the Batman Beyond and Justice League shows yet.
I'm just saying, you had all summer, guys. You had all summer. This is me being finally ruthless about spoilers. The guy who hasn't watched Doctor Who this year, deciding to be a dick about spoilers. Yeah, that worked out for me, by the way.
So
totally
let's move
saw
on.
Headlines I wasn't supposed to. Fuck you, internet. But to be fair, Dave here has done a great job of keeping his mouth shut. I know he wants to talk about it.
Yep.
Anyway, back to
Gotham. Actually, I kind of haven't really wanted to. Anyway. Wait, there are TV shows outside of DC?
Yeah, right?
Did you catch Master B this time?
Master B, no.
You miss it every time.
No, does he? What? Hit me. When did it happen?
Alfred goes into Theo Gallivan's place with his gun drawn, says, "Master Bruce, Master Bruce, Master B." And then there's Tabitha.
Okay.
Every time he says it, it sticks out like a sore thumb to me. He just might as well call him Grand Master B. Start putting a, you know, backwards hat on Bruce or something.
He's got to youth them up somehow. I mean, it.
Mm-hmm.
He has a hard line to draw because he has to. He's the warden of this child, but he's also is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a hard thing. So I guess little things like that, reminding him that he doesn't actually have to say his last name unless he really feels like it.
Mm-hmm. Which I loved that Alfred. Man, I just love Alfred.
Yeah. Oh,
God. He tells He tells Tabitha, "I wonder what he'd do if I just disappeared you."
Yeah. And you've never seen him flinch either. Like, at no point has Alfred ever shown even the smallest hint of fear about anything other than whether Master B is okay. That's the only mm-hmm. thing that actually gets under his skin at all. Past that, I've seen, like, how many people have threatened him, have walked right up to him at this point, and he just, like, closes the gap another inch and looks in their face. I love it. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And God, yeah. The Alfred versus Tigers. I hadn't even dared to dream of that fight.
Right. And at no point did I ever think, like, yes, Tabitha and Alfred are going to get into it. Their paths are going to cross just enough where they're going to have to... No, I never thought about that.
Never crossed my mind that that would ever be a possibility. But, you know...
I mean, as soon as I saw her standing there, I went, oh.
And I thought for a second they were just going to have a machismo moment and kind of walk away. And I thought, no. He's going to turn his back on her because he's that kind of guy. Because he has to show that he's brave enough to turn his back on her. And mm-hmm. she's not going to be able to handle it because she's not that kind of girl.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, all of my wildest dreams came true.
Man, she threw that whip and he caught it. And I was like, yes!
Yeah.
And then, like, he gets in the elevator. I'm like, that can't be the end. And then there are heels on the roof of the car, of the elevator car.
Right.
Oh,
and you're God. Like, shoot her in the butt.
But what did she wind up throwing and hitting him in the back with? Like, was that a... I imagine it was one of her heels that she pulled off and threw.
No, it had some weird arc to it, though. I mean, I thought maybe it was just a knife. And to be fair, if you throw them kind of at the right angle, they do kind of frisbee a bit. But I don't know, man.
Mm-hmm. I was actually... I was talking to Matt on the MCU cast about it. And he was like... It was not a shoe. It was like a batarang thing. I was like, it wasn't a batarang. It was like part of her shoe. And he was like... Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
It's highly irregular.
Whipped out the old Austin Powers line on me. It was good.
I don't know. The batarang idea occurred to me for just a second, because it does. It has a weird arc. And I kind of thought, was that a bat? Oh, no, it can't be. Never mind. Just in context, my brain obviously tried to do that. But
I was like, you know, if anyone had like a badass... you know, high heel weapon, it would be Tabitha. I don't know.
Yeah, I would see that. I could see that. I lost track of which note I was looking for. Oh, yeah. One particular shot. It would be me that brings this up. You might recognize it, though. I'm just wondering if it hit you too.
Mm-hmm.
When they're storming the, what do you call it? A slapping something? They kept euphemizing. I forget what the hell they were calling these things. A rub and tug establishment or something?
Oh.
I don't know. They kept, I kept chuckling at the names going, all right, come on, guys.
Did they call it a slappy ending?
Maybe. I don't know.
I
hope so. It made me laugh, and then I forget what it was. But they're going to the whatever this is, and they do this weirdly long shot of the woman leading the man down, and then she goes in the door. And I'm like, I get it. It's a whorehouse. What? Can we end this shot right now? Oh my God. You finally get in there though, and then like the entire order shows up, monks and all. And every time they do it, they do the like they show their knives. They do this shring, mm-hmm. and my first thought was like, am I watching Hot Fuzz? It was, I swear, the same shot and just as funny.
Right. Yeah. It did make me laugh. The Order of Saint Stabby Stabby.
No, dude, that little fight scene. I know this is a very small thing to even notice, you know, but when you do something well, I hope someone does. And the little sound, the Foley on cracking that guy's wrist. Great mm-hmm. job. But like that and the actual knife insertion. Oh, man. Great job on those.
If you want to turn Jason into Tony the Tiger, you get your Foley work done right. Great.
Hey, it's the little things, man.
Oh.
It's the little things. Good fights, you know. Too. It's really hard to kill Jim. God, it's hard to kill Jim.
It is. At this point, I'm just like, you know, screw Bruce Willis.
Right.
Jim Gordon should be the next, you know, diehard guy.
Right.
The next John McClane. Just reboot the series with him.
The, oh, God. And, you know, speaking of which, same, Bullock's just as hard to kill. He's just got, it's a lot less impressive visually to watch. Because Gordon's mm-hmm. got a lot of cool moves, you know, it looks like some very advanced defense training it's kind of fun to choreograph and watch. Bullock just sort of like shakes someone until they go away, like shakes them and throws them. And then
he does.
And then like screams at the ceiling, no, please no, hold.
I'm out of breath. All right, I'm good.
He really would be. He's the kind of guy, though, that like, I swear, you're in the middle of a street fight. He could be like, say he's at a bar. It gets in the middle of a bar fight. It's one of those where like no one's gonna back down because it's your bar. So you gotta fight this thing out now. He would be the guy mm-hmm. though that like they're holding each other. You know how boxers kind of lean on each other for a second while they're tired.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be the guy that like holds off and says, "Any chance you want to take a break and have a cigarette with me?" And they would. They'd have a cigarette and a shot, and they're like, "Okay," and then start slugging again.
You know what? I would be perfectly happy with that scene.
Me too.
It would be so stupid, but somehow real. Somehow real.
And now it'd be so a step back. It'd be a march in the characters in a wrong direction for the character. I assume he's still clean.
So what did you think of Mayor James lying and letting Gallivan out?
Yeah. I mean, seemed like that was obviously coming. I was holding out hope just until the last second that he would, you know, balls up and whatever. They didn't even, like, the funny part is they didn't go into how Gallivan gets him to do that, but they kind of don't have to. His character, I'm willing to assume he's such a coward that they were like, "I'll hurt your dog" or something, and he was, "Oh my God, no, I'll totally let you lose." I shouldn't use dog. I would totally do that for my dog.
Yeah, you would. I have a real question here, though, because this is the only part of the episode that really bothered me. If Penguin's henchman Gabe, if he had people following Gallivan, why didn't he continue to follow them? Like, why didn't he just say, "Just stay on Gallivan"? Why did he stop when he got to where Gordon was, just so Penguin could come out and yell at Gordon and demand to know where Gallivan went?
I think the real answer is because writing.
Poor writing?
I'm not even sure how many points I'd like to take off for that. Let me put it this way. It's headcanon again, but say Gabe was... It's Gabe, right? I think it was Gabe. Say Gabe was following him. Well, he followed Gallivan all the way there. He might want to know where the other guy is, but say he calls Penguin at that point and says, "I know where Gallivan is, but he's got two guys that are about to beat Gordon to death. What do you want me to do about it?" I think Penguin would say, "I'll be right there. Come save Gordon," in the hopes that he'll like help his quest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a useful asset. I mean...
I know. But see, that was the thing. Like, Penguin didn't really come. It didn't really seem like he was saving him. He was coming to question Gordon and find out where Gallivan was.
Yeah, I know. That's the part where I got nothing, man. I mean, maybe he lost him. Maybe he saw Gallivan thought fire fight and thinks I'm not following that.
Yeah,
I'll take my chances with the two cops.
Right.
So, by the way, Gallivan can fight.
Yeah,
that's a real thing now.
That was pretty badass.
He had good moves too. He was well choreographed. Mm-hmm. Like he just looked like he was toying with him. Like, it reminded me of Rage just toying with
Ration,
Oliver.
Yeah, Ration Oliver. I knew you were gonna go there. When I saw it, I was like, "Oh, Jason's gonna bring up Ration Oliver again."
Oh, hell yeah! Cat playing with a mouse.
All right, you got anything else on this episode?
Just one more mention about Bruce being an absolute player now.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the little bit at the end. Selena kind of. You know, what'd you say? Like, you could tell she's into Bruce. She's trying to not, but come on, he knows. He can tell. He's not dumb by any stretch. He's a little socially awkward. It takes him a second sometimes, but man, does he learn mm-hmm. quick. He gives her the whole speech. It wasn't about her, though. And yeah, it's just tacit enough that she knows that she needs to either, like, make out with him right then or get the hell out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she obviously gets the hell out of the room, but she can't even get her sentence straight afterwards. I'm clapping again. Just way to go, Bruce. Way to go.
Yeah, when he told her what he said and everything, and he's like, I didn't mean it about her, I meant it about you. Or he didn't even say it was about you.
No, he just left it on the table.
He left it hanging there.
Right.
And I just thought, damn, Bruce.
Right? Yeah. I was so proud. How old is he supposed to be in the show at this point? Like 13?
13, 14, 13, 14 like
maybe
that.
15, something in that area. I didn't have a player bone in my body like that at that age. I still don't.
And, you know, at least now we know that Selena's got an easier way to melt herself into those pants every episode. She's just got to think back on what Bruce was saying. Just melt right into him. Just
gets quite hot and bothered. She's on her way.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, I think that does it for this episode of Gotham Season 2, Episode 10, Son of Gotham. I really enjoyed the episode. I thought it was a pretty good episode, except for that one bit at the end. It didn't really make a lot of sense with Gabe and the Penguin.
We have that problem often. Even that really is. That's the motif for us when we actually do a really like glaringly positive review about Gotham. It's always, yeah, but the M's a little weird, but whatever. We liked it.
That does seem to be the weird.
Yeah.
It's like they completely exhaust themselves throughout the entire episode, and then at the end they're just like the end of that one shot fight in Daredevil where they're all just sort of hobbling around swinging at air, you know. They're so exhausted.
You can tell neither one of them wants to fight anymore. We're done. Right. Will Penguin just do something on screen for a minute? We're all very tired.
Right. We don't want to write anymore. I don't know. Penguin says something to stuff.
We did all the
know.
Cool stuff. I mean, Alfred had a gun. That, by the way, is another trend for when we're like, great episode. Anytime Alfred gets a gun in his hand, we're on board.
Pretty much, yeah. For the most part. Anyway, we're going to be coming right back with more episode. We're going to be reviewing Supergirl 104, How Does She Do It? And we've also got the Gotham Fall finale, Worse Than a Crime. Like I said, we are late, so that's what we're going to be doing. And we've got a big news episode where we'll be talking about the Batman vs. Superman trailer that debuted during the fall finale of Gotham.
It's
so
not even really a trailer. It's just like a quick scene.
That's exactly what it is, I mean, but it was badass.
But, you know, hey guys, if you haven't noticed it already, you got 30 seconds of footage from the movie to go find. Go seek.
Mm-hmm. Go. We are DC on
screen. We could
just
put it up on the page for him right as soon as it posts. And maybe just your part. I mean, we can't put the trailer.
We're kind of busy.
We put the link. Okay, so if we have time, we're gonna make this really easy for you.
Yeah,
we've got like three more episodes to do, so...
I'll put it up on the website, guys. Anyway, we are DC On Screen. You can find us on DCOnScreen.com. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. If you really want to help with the show and help us make this show, go and give us some 5-star reviews and ratings over on iTunes and Stitcher. And if you are interested in a Marvel podcast, it's pretty similar to ours. Go check out the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast with our friends Matt Carroll and Jeff Randall. You can find them on mcucast.com. We're both proud members of the Giant Size Team Up Network. And until next episode, keep some DC on your screen, guys.
Woo!